No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Dennis and our special guest from AOPA, Tom Haynes, with us, rounding out the crew today. Ed and Keith on hiatus because basically they spent too much time with me at the NBAA show last week. So they get a break this week, but I brought in the big guns to round out the crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. Tom, welcome first off. How are you, buddy?
Hey, welcome, guys. I'm doing great. Lots of travel these days and glad to be back in the office catching up on a couple things, but then off to the next one.
That's right. He just took a brief period to join us in between the Gulf Shores AOPA fly-in. The last one of the season, that's going on this weekend. We'll get to that in just a bit. But we got to flash back to last week because I actually ran into Tom at the end of our broadcast of Just Plain Radio last week from the show floor of the NBAA show. And we didn't get him on the broadcast. So I figured, hey, you know, we compared notes a little bit after our little show. And I said, hey, why don't you come on this week and we'll kind of fill in the gap. So first off, what caught your eye? The same stuff that we did with like this Terrafugia stuff or what? What were the highlights from NBAA for you?
Yeah, I thought Terrafugia was pretty interesting. They're there taking orders now for the transition. Their aero car or fly a rotable airplane or depending on whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought at least as interesting at their booth was the animation they were showing for their eVTOL urban transport vehicle.
Yes, that was wild looking, wasn't it?
And I thought it was pretty amazing for the business aviation community to spend as much time and resources and discussion about the whole eVTOL urban transport issue, given that that's kind of outside of what you'd think people flying business jets, for example, which is primarily the audience at NBA,
mm-hmm.
That they would spend on something like that. So I found that kind of interesting because there were several booths that had eVTOL airplanes. Of course, one of the strategists from Uber was there talking about their Uber strategy for Uber Air and all the things that they plan to do with aircraft and part of their moving people around and package delivery now and food delivery and all this kind of stuff, potentially using aircraft. So I find that pretty interesting that the business aviation community would be so open and welcoming to that.
Yes. Well, either that or they're hoping they are. I don't know. Terrafugia, Dennis, did you see any of this web animation that they were showing at NBAA, even though you weren't there yourself? Did you see some of that?
No, I missed out on it, but I'm guessing that, you know, part of the interest on the business side of things for these rotable projects and eVTOLs is, you know, kind of that last mile delivery. You know, if you look at the state of our transit in most cities, you know, it's gridlock. Greg, you're a great example of that with the I-4 parking lot. You know, how many hours do these executives spend stuck in traffic trying to get to an airport to get on a business jet to go to a meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is their solution to, you know, more efficiently utilizing their time, go over the traffic instead of contributing to it.
Well, you know, you do see some of the helicopter manufacturers on display at NBAA as well. And they kind of, you know, do that for the corporate business sector. But, you know, this could be a hybrid between the two. I don't know. But I will tell you, I love the idea of the Terrafugia, but I hate the name. I don't even know. What does it mean, Tom? Do we know? What does that Terrafugia mean? I'm guessing.
You got me. I mean, Terra meaning earth or ground, right? And Fugia, I don't know.
Isn't that kind of like a German or Germanic word for flying?
I think it's a stinky cheese.
Could be.
You know, you have to Google it, I guess. But, you know, I'm sure there's some meaning behind the name. But it's, you know, I can't, Terrafugia, it doesn't really come off the lips real easily for me. But, you know, I have that issue of being an announcer and that kind of thing. But as far as how it looks, you know, I love the concept of a flying car. Who doesn't want their Jetson vehicle before they croak? You know, and we grew up watching the Jetsons. We should get this vehicle at some point, and they seem to be the first company that actually looks like they're trying to make this come to fruition. That fold-up first, you know, version of the airplane, we talked to the guy about that last week on the show, looks really interesting. It definitely looks like a car and a plane mashed together for sure. But this other transport vehicle that they, you know, kind of debuted or showed the animation and all the graphics and stuff there in their booth at MBAA, quite different than that initial presentation of the flying car. This thing has kind of like a mod or like a pod or like a minibus kind of thing.
Right.
And it just kind of attaches to the wings, like it backs into it, and then you hear it click, I assume.
You better hope it clicks.
Exactly, because if it doesn't, that's going to make for a very interesting flight once you get up there and all of a sudden, uh-oh, did you hear something?
Yeah, did you put the pin in?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
But the way it looks, it doesn't really look super sleek and sexy or anything to me compared to when you look at these corporate jets, like, you know, the Honda Jet and all that. I mean, they got these sleek lines and stuff. I don't know, you think that's just me? As far as the way these vehicles, flying vehicles, are, you know, throwing out there, look, Tom, or what? What's your
You know, it's a couple of things regarding the aerodynamics. I mean, first of all, at the speeds that they're typically traveling at, aerodynamics is, you know, less important, I guess. And for the mission that they're in, you know, it's hard to come up with a super sleek kind of design when you're really transitioning between. You're basically a vertical takeoff aircraft like a helicopter. Mm-hmm. Some of them have a transition mode where they switch into sort of like a tilt rotor into a sort of a fixed wing mode for the sort of cruise phase and then switch back to a vertical takeoff. Some of them are like the quadcopters and the Surefly, for mm-hmm. example, are basically just a vertical lift that moves forward like a helicopter. So in those cases and at those speeds, a super sleek airframe is, you know, not as important because at those speeds, you know, drag doesn't matter quite as much.
Well, I understand. But I don't know. I guess I'm looking at it more like a sports car versus a minivan. And the graphics that they were showing on that kind of look more on the minivan side of things.
It did.
You know, so, and I'm not knocking it. So I'm just throwing it out there. If it's just me, like, hey, are these corporate guys who seem to be, you know, I mean, sometimes image makes a difference in the corporate business world, I think, and what it looks like and how cool your traveling vehicle is, you know, makes a statement about how they operate their biz in some ways. Whether that's good or bad is for you to judge. But I don't know. That was just something that caught me. I will say their graphics, and they had this really cool, like, 3D laser presentation thing up there in the Terra Fugia booth that was very eye-catching. I'd never seen nothing like that. But they're always doing crazy, nutty stuff at the MBAA show like that, the state-of-the-art kiosks. I remember a couple years ago we were there, and they had, like, a robot salesperson. Mm-hmm. Evidently, that didn't catch on because I didn't see any there this time. But I was like, wow, they got a robot, and you just walk up and, hey, do you have a question about our product? And it's this nice video of this girl, and she's like presented it. You remember that. That caught your eye, too, didn't it? And
was her name Alexa?
It was something like that. But she would look at you. Literally, the video would look at you, and she'd wink. And it was really kind of freaky and disturbing at the same time. But I was like, gosh, is this the future? Well, evidently not. Because evidently they didn't catch on, I guess. But I didn't see any of those on display this time. But, you know, you got the Terra Fugia, you got all this. Like you said, the Uber guy was there. I didn't see the presentation. Was he pretty impressive? Did you see the speech that he gave to the
association? Yeah, I did. And it was pretty impressive, the things they're thinking about. It is interesting to think about how we use airplanes, you know, routinely for long distance travel, global, you know, fly halfway around the world. You fly domestically, you can fly regionally between cities. But the idea that when you're trying to move around inside an urban area, that you have essentially no air options. Your only choice is ground transportation of some sort or another, unless you're, you know, flying a helicopter. But the economics of helicopters for, you know, all but the 1% just don't make sense. So the idea for Uber is to take these urban transport vehicles, whether it's vertical lift or some combination of vertical and, you know, it switches to a fixed wing, whatever the exact vehicle is the idea that you're moving around inside an urban area for about the cost initially, and they say initially is as soon as 2023, which is seems really close to me, but about the cost of an UberX, you know, the high-end Uber experience. And ultimately, they expect to get the price down to a normal Uber or actually to the cost of what it would cost an individual to own their own car, that you would be able to Uber around pretty much all the time in one of these vehicles in an urban area for about the cost of owning a car.
That would be pretty cool. You know, they're going to start with like hamburgers and pizzas first, which, you know, if you're a pizza delivery guy, your days are numbered, I think. I think they're thinking they're going to have that squared away like within 3 years, which...
Do you still have to tip the driver?
Well, that's a good question. I'm sure it'll be in the app, you know, depending on how the drone performed for you. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Need to replace that old Garmin? Need a new GPS for your plane? No matter what you fly, Avidyne has you covered. Since 1994, Avidyne's been a market leader in the design of intuitive displays in avionics. The mission has always been to use innovative technology to improve safety and increase aircraft utility. Go to Avidyne.com to find a dealer in the solution for you. That's Avidyne.com or call 1-800-AVIDYNE. Avidyne. For pilots that know the difference.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Hey, I'm Scott Fitzgerald. You probably don't recognize me because I'm in corporate.
So am I. This is corporate.
Little too much so, if you ask me. I try to have fun, right? I mean, you know, we're not landing planes here.
Our company manufactures aircraft landing gear systems.
Yep. Uh-huh. Well, I am going to fly us over a few more drinks.
I'm just sitting out here watching airplanes take off.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Dennis. And from AOPA, we have Tom Haynes as our special guest who, I don't know, you're pretty much a captain in charge right now, whether you like it or not, Tom, because you have the most experience. Sorry, Dennis, but you've been demoted to, you know, the co-pilot position.
Well, anybody that gets to fly a business jet on a regular basis definitely trumps me.
Yes, he gets to do that. I'll be a wing flyer. And we'll just leave it at that. All right, so we're talking about MBA or MBAA, National Business Aircraft Association trade show that was last week in Orlando. We did a full show from the show floor last week, but there was no way to cover everything. So we're kind of reflecting on some, you know, of our show notes with Tom, who obviously met everybody and more, even more people than we interfaced with last week on the show. We talked about the Uber guy who was there giving a presentation. They actually did have a cool opening keynote between some like Fox News commentator and Badaglia. They do this every year. They bring a Democrat and a Republican together to give a speech, and then they have like a cage match. I don't know if there's coleslaw wrestling or what, but it's quite entertaining at times. Am I right there, Tom?
Yeah, I didn't see the one this year, but other years they've been pretty entertaining to watch. As the years that for the presidential and the midterm elections is just the show always occurs just before the election, so it's always
right.
Entertaining to see what people are saying.
Exactly. Yeah, and I missed it too, but I did hear it was entertaining as usual. So if you ever have the opportunity, always great to go to the opening ceremonies of the NBA. MBAA show. All right. So the other thing going on there, and Dennis alluded to it, that you actually get to do some commercial craft flying or, you know, private pilot type jets beyond the scope of Dennis and let alone me. Even me, believe it. That's shocking. I know everyone listening right now, but it is true. I mean, last time I think we spoke extensively about you flying the Honda jet, which was on display there at MBAA, but the big news this time in that world was from Textron. Is that right?
Yeah, emphasis on big, in that they had the Longitude there, which is the biggest airplane that has ever carried the Cessna name, put out by Textron.
Right.
Yeah, the Longitude is a super midsize, and it was at the show, almost certified. They are just weeks away, days away now, probably, from getting the official FAA nod to be able to start delivering those things. But I had the chance to fly it a few weeks ago, and it was a lot of fun, really interesting airplane, swept wing jet, seating about, depending on how you configure it, 12, 13 passengers plus two pilots. It's got access, baggage compartment access from inside the airplane, and incredible acoustics, quietness in the cabin, if you will. They've done a super job of keeping the cabin quiet. And then up front, a Garmin G5000 avionics suite, which is breathtaking, with auto throttles and that sort of thing. So the technology that's in these modern business jets is pretty stunning. It's better than any of the airliners, for example. Even the 787 is a little old now compared to some of the things we're seeing in the business jets. So,
What's the price tag on one of these new ones, these Longitudes?
Hey, Greg, for you,
yeah,
a special deal.
Yeah.
$27 million.
$27 million.
So if you win the lottery, if you won the lottery this week, you know, that'll be just pocket change.
Gosh, you know, I think that's even outside of Captain Keith's credit card range. Tack on it.
You might be able to put it on the flight line, leaseback kind of thing.
Well, I maxed it out last week with with a deal with the Kodiak. You know, I was
did the deal, huh?
Well, he was there, and when he wasn't looking, I grabbed his wallet out of his back pocket. You know, those years of pickpocketing back in the day paid off. And, I said, hey, here's a down payment. Yeah, my name's Keith. Sure. We'll see how that goes. Now, actually, that's interesting. So you're saying the cabin, though, is very quiet, because I asked him that at the Kodiak, because that's more of a like a giant 172, urban street, vehicle. It's just like an off-road vehicle airplane to me. And I asked him, I said, the new version that they had on display at the MBAA show, is it a little quieter? Is it, and they said, actually, they put in a lot more sound insulation in that aircraft to make it. And he said, it's very pleasant inside. But I would imagine what you're talking about is just like whisper quiet. Is it that crazy or what?
Yeah, it's quieter than a Kodiak. I mean, they have done a nice job at Quest quieting the Kodiak as well. But in the case of Cessna, I got a whole briefing on how it is they went about the acoustic changes inside the cabin. And they really focused on not just throwing a lot of basically insulating materials inside the cabin. I mean, that would be one way to get there, I guess. But they're heavy and expensive.
Yeah.
They really focused on they have a laboratory, an acoustic laboratory at Cessna, where they take every component that's in the cabin or in any way touches the pressure vessel, and they measure the sound coming off of everything and the frequency of that sound, and then they figure out how to dampen it. For example, they determined that the frequency of the noise of the or of the air flowing into the cabin, and they determined that the speed at which it was coming into the cabin was what caused some noise. So they put some basically S-turns in the ducting so that it slowed down the velocity of the environmental air coming into the cabin, which had a pretty dramatic decrease in volume or of of sound level,
yeah,
if you will. And that was just one way, one example of things they did to quiet the airplane. So when you're sitting in the back of the cabin in cruise, you can actually hear without problem conversations going on in the front of the cabin. So if you're having your secret business meeting in the front cab of the cabin while somebody in the is in the back, you almost need white noise now.
Yeah,
in order to
how about that?
Have some privacy.
Are they using electronic noise cancellation too? Are they incorporating that technology or not necessarily?
They have in some airplanes. Beechcraft has done that in some of the King Air models. They use some electronic noise canceling, but Cessna is not using that in the Longitude.
They're just limiting the sound from the source, which is probably a better way to go about it anyway. Well, I love that. I'm very much a luxury type of flyer myself. So, if I didn't have my sights set on that Kodiak, just because I think it would be slightly less to operate than one of these new Longitudes, let alone, yeah, let's look past the $27 million price tag.
You'd have to hire yourself a second pilot, Greg, because, the Longitude does require two pilots.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Single pilot.
That's right.
But you're available, aren't you, Dennis?
Certainly.
Okay, see? Problem solved. And then, what, fuel burn on one of these? What do you think there, Tom? Do you have any guess?
Oh, as I recall, I forget exactly what it was, but it was, something north of 300 gallons an hour.
Okay. All right.
Per engine?
I'm going to have to call the bank and get Captain Key's credit card limit raised just a tad. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Dennis from AOPA. Today we have Tom Haynes helping us out. And reflecting back on the NBA, I keep saying NBA, which it's not basketball. It's the NBAA, which is like college version. No, it's National Business Aviation Association trade show, which was in Orlando, our home base of operations, last week. Okay, so the Longitude from Cessna, you're a fan, it sounds like, despite the fuel burn and the $27 million price tag. Which doesn't mean you're not a fan. It just means that may not be your first choice of aircraft that you plan to purchase for you and the family. Is that right, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, really, for my needs, something like a Gulfstream 650, I think, would better satisfy my needs. But, that's only like, $50
million. So, it's a bargain, see?
Right. There yep.
Yeah.
For your truly intergalactic travel.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It is kind of crazy, the level of money that you see walking around the show. It is it's impressive. And but everybody is actually very friendly and very cool. Sure, there's a lot of people with a lot of money, but I'll tell you what, they're actually very gracious. And folks, everybody you interact with, because you have that common thread of just being a pilot or, yep, loving aviation. So it doesn't really matter how much money you got. You can, the next thing you know, you're talking to somebody like, yeah, I just bought one of those Gulfstream ones. And I'm like, oh, really? Oh, geez, what do you do? Well, I own a country. That's that's for another day, but you can still strike up a real interesting conversation, as you can imagine, just because of our common love of aviation. I dig that. And I guess you do too, right, Tom?
Yeah, we see that all the time. It is sort of the great equalizer. It doesn't matter what you fly, just the fact that you do fly gives you something in common with about anybody across the aviation spectrum. And so conversations strike up pretty easily and off to the races with new friends.
I will say, you know, the bar for me is pretty low. As long as I don't get thrown out by security, I figure that's a win. And that hadn't happened yet, knock on wood. All right. More coming up on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You know that maneuver where you fly straight up until you stall and then pull out of the dive?
Uh-huh.
Can we do that today?
Nope.
Don't decide now. We'll talk when we're up.
Sky Pilot. This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me. Along with Captain Dennison from AOPA, we have Tom Haynes helping us out today. And look, a lot of stuff was happening high-tech there at the MBAA show in Orlando. And, you know, we've covered as much as we can, but we'll never get to all of it. But I would say just overall, Tom, from my perspective, it looked pretty hopping. I mean, the place was cranking, especially on day two. Did you feel that business was really cranking as far as a lot of stuff going on and people seemed pretty excited as far as, you know, from an economic standpoint for the industry? What do you think? What was your vibe you were getting from everyone?
That was a very positive vibe. Talked to a lot of exhibitors. They were really happy with the attendance and the people are spending money. They're feeling good about it. So all in all, the numbers are pretty positive. The Honeywell had their annual forecast, which the 10-year forecast they do every year and update every year. And it was pretty positive for the United States. You know, some of Latin America, they'd kind of trimmed that back a little bit. But all in all, it was pretty positive, yeah.
Absolutely. Now, technology, like I said, is always on display big time at that show. And I did see some virtual reality headsets at one of the booths where they were having people put it on, and you could literally take a tour through the aircraft. I didn't do it. I wanted to because I was like, wow, this is like a cool Xbox game. But I had to actually do business there or act like I was. So I passed on that one. But I got back to the office, and sure enough, we get this story, or actually Dennis forwards it to me about these guys flying. It looked like a two-seater or a Cessna 172. With a virtual reality headset, an Oculus, which these things are $200.
Yeah, it was just an Oculus Rift. Yeah, the same thing you would use to play, you know, the virtual roller coaster in your house. They strapped it onto the guy, so he is not looking outside the airplane at all. And the only visual cues he has is what's being displayed in his Oculus headset. And so, with a safety pilot, he was out flying around and, you know, using this as a test to see if this could be even better than a synthetic vision system, just completely replacing the view out the window.
Yeah. I mean, you look like a goof. I will tell you that much because I watched the video, but I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what does this mean? And the thing is, I mean, this headset's only like a couple $100. I don't know what, system they were working with to fly the airplane. Did you figure that part out, Dennis? I didn't watch it that close.
Yeah, I don't know if they had something like X-Plane hooked up to it, you know, getting inputs from the plane, but, you know, somehow or another, they were interfacing it to an application that was, you know, basically showing them a synthetic vision view of the world, and the guy was flying it down to the runway without actually looking out the window.
Yeah. Now, he didn't, evidently they said they haven't really landed with it or they're not doing that, but they've flown like this for like 20 flights already. So what's more dangerous or scary to the people on the ground? The fact that someone's flying around with a virtual headset and not even looking, or me behind the yoke of an airplane? What do you think?
Well, Tom? I think I'm going to go with the option B there.
I wasn't asking you. Shut up.
At least he had a safety pilot with him.
Well, true. Yeah, and but it was pretty intriguing. You think this is the future, Tom? Could this happen?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think it definitely is how we're going to change flight training is using virtual reality. We had a briefing by the Air Force just a couple of weeks ago. They came in and talked to us about how they're training pilots because, you know, they're the whole pilot population. We've talked about that many times, the challenge of finding enough pilots. And the Air Force is particularly hit by that. And so they're looking at how to hustle people through the flight training process and as quickly and efficiently as possible. And one way they're doing it is using virtual reality. And they are putting guys into virtual reality systems of one sort or another, probably a little more sophisticated than an Oculus Rift, but using virtual reality and flight simulation and taking guys all the way through a private or, you know, what would be equivalent of sort of a private pilot training experience and then putting them in an airplane. And within just a couple of hours, they are flying the airplane to private pilot standards after only a couple of hours of actual flight when they've spent so much time in virtual reality and simulation. So it's amazing what you can do with modern systems like that.
No doubt. I mean, it is pretty crazy. I don't know that much about these Oculus Rift things. Those aren't the ones that actually use your cell phone, are they?
Some versions of it do, but the big Oculus Rift is designed to hook up to a heavy duty gaming computer and be your complete display. I mean, it can simulate the entire cockpit of like an X-plane or flight simulator, or you can use them for those like interactive roller coaster simulators that everybody's seen the YouTube videos on. And
right, yeah. People, well, you could definitely use that kind of setup as opposed to like a 3 monitor system for a flight sim. That would give you the same perspective, I would guess, or even more so.
I think it would be even better because, you know, with the Rift on, you can actually look out to the left and, you know, look out the window just like you would in the real plane, trying to find that 45-degree point to fly your pattern, where a 3-screen simulator setup, you lose a lot of that, visual cues that you would normally get in the airplane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm guessing, you know, they're already putting all these cameras in on these airplanes that once they figure out how to, well, they already have done it, I guess, where they merge the live camera view and then superimpose all the data like a heads-up display. That's probably what's going to end up happening with these systems if they do go that route, wouldn't you think, Tom?
I think so. One of the challenges that they're facing right now is the latency issue. I mean, if you're off of, you know, even a tiny fraction of a second between, certainly if you're using augmented reality, if there's any latency between what you're seeing developed electronically and what you're actually seeing, you know, with your own eyes, you very quickly become disoriented or get nauseous. And so that's one of the challenges right now is the processing power to keep up with your brain, which, of course, has super capability to process information. But they'll get there, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, I remember you telling us about your military flight and what, an F-35 or something, one of those things where you had that whole thing where you said you could look down and see the ground and all. Right? Yeah.
An F-35 simulator and using the F-35 helmet where it's got cameras all over the airplane and you can literally look down essentially through the floor of the airplane or turn around and look behind you and see what's behind you as opposed to seeing the actual airplane. So when they merge all that technology together, I experienced some virtual reality when I was at Textron recently, when I was flying the Longitude that we just talked about. But there, in this case, I was in their industrial design center and was inside the cockpit of the Sky Courier, which is a twin turboprop that they're developing and doesn't even exist yet except in a computer. But I was able to sit in a chair with virtual reality glasses on and look around the cockpit. I could look out the window and see what the sight line is from the pilot seat out to the wingtip, for example. And they were using it for those kind of studies to understand where the window line should be, what the view of the pilot is from checking on ice detection, you know, how much of the wing leading edge of the wing can you actually see?
Yeah.
And all those kind of things. So it was pretty interesting in an airplane that doesn't otherwise exist.
How high tech are the graphics on those things? I mean, does it still look kind of cartoonish, or are we talking like Pixar level now?
This is pretty cartoonish. And interesting is your hands. If you move your hands up into view, they appear as these sort of weird tentacle kind of things.
I'm an octopus. Strange, look at that.
Reach over and pretend to touch something. Of course, you have no tactile feel, but it is pretty interesting though.
That is, sounds pretty cool. I definitely think it's the future. There's no question. I mean, all this crazy stuff. It makes me wonder if I need to get one of those for Christmas, one of those VR headsets. when I start my flight training again. I mean, I have the whole, you know, one of those, you know, personal flight simulators that I picked up a few years ago, which is a pretty good one. I forget what the brand is, but, it, you know, it feels like a real airplane kind of thing. But I'm thinking a monitor system. I might be better off going with one of those headsets. I might be, you know, something I add to my aviation, you know, gift list for the holidays. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, or you could spend that $400 on 2.5 hours of flight.
Or I could do that, yes.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but, you know, Ed and Keith are going to say, "Will you? Have you done any sim time?" And I'm like, well, yeah, I got it. Yeah. Well, anyway, anything to motivate me to get more flying time in is a step in the right direction, I would say. But, okay, we got some other cool news about drones. And I don't know. Well, before we get to that, let's talk about this United thing, because you didn't hear what happened with this commercial United flight last week. Is that right, Tom? This is
no.
Gonna be
I guess
news
I was
to you.
In NBAA mode and missed that. What happened,
Dennis? Give us a quick little tease before we.
Well, apparently, a flight from Chicago to Chattanooga, Tennessee, had to turn around halfway because, reported by the passengers, the airplane was too big for Chattanooga.
What's up with that? It's too big. How could it be too big? And how did they take off, you know, and not know this before they got in the air and halfway through the trip? We'll finish out the story on the other side of the commercial break. Stay close to Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I'm so scared.
This is Halloween on Just Plane Radio, kind of. Or at least Halloween weekend. I am Greg, your co-pilot, along with Captain Dennis from Mayo, PA. Tom Haynes is helping us out today. I don't know, what are you dressing up as, Tom? Pilot?
Just guessing. I thought maybe a pilot, you know, put on a headset or something and call it a day. I've got epaulets, so maybe I'll just put those on.
Okay, well, you could do that. Dennis, what are you thinking? Anything?
Maybe I'll dress up as Maverick from Top Gun. I've got my old flight suit. Maybe I can still wear that.
Okay. You actually need a... Well, I guess you could. I mean, pretty much aviators would do it, wouldn't it? That's all
pretty
you
much.
Really need. Who are you? I'm Tom Hanks. I'm that guy. I'm Goose. Yeah.
Do you have the spray-on perspiration for under your arms?
Well, true.
Of course.
You could do that, because God knows I'm not going to work up on my own. That's for sure. It'd take too much effort. But anyway, make the best of the season this week. Scare the kids in your neighborhood, whatever you need to do. And throw in the aviation element. Why not? That'll just make it more fun for you. All right. So United had another mishap from at least a PR standpoint. So once again, these guys were flying this flight. Was it from Chicago? Is that where it went originated?
Yeah, it was from Chicago to Chattanooga, and apparently they had to do an aircraft swap at the last minute. It was originally scheduled to go on a CRJ, you know, a smaller regional jet, and they switched it out to a larger regional jet, an Embraer 175, and they got all the passengers on the new plane, took off on time, and got halfway to the destination, had to do a U-turn and head back to Chicago. The passengers were saying to the media that, well, we had to turn back because the airplane was too big, which then, of course, people started going, well, how do you mean? A 175 is not that much bigger. What could possibly be going on? And it sounds like the issue wasn't necessarily that the runway in the airport itself wasn't big enough, but that they weren't equipped with something simple like a tow bar to be able to push the jet back from the jetway.
What the heck is up with that? Have you ever heard of such nonsense, Tom?
Wah, wah.
I mean, that's just
No, actually, nutty. No. I, you know, obviously you hear about airplanes landing at the wrong at the wrong airport from time to time and having
right.
a runway problem there, but I've never heard of one not being able to land because of concerns about a tow bar or something like that. That's pretty bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, I can only imagine what the pilot was thinking when he got halfway through the flight and then they realized they had this problem. And you would have
I'm sure they got a call on the cell call or something like that from dispatch saying, "Hey guys, remember that the trip we had planned for you? Never mind, turn around, come back."
Yeah, and they were like, "What? You got to be kidding me!" Yeah, I wish we had a tape of that. You can only imagine the amount of bleeps that we'd probably have to put in there too.
No, but I'd imagine that the customers are probably a lot happier going back to Midway than being stuck on the ramp at Chattanooga and not being able to get out of the airplane because maybe they don't have an air stair that would be able to reach the plane or whatever. You know, that it was probably better for them to go back and have them sorted out in Chicago rather than being stranded.
Well, maybe. But it seems like they could have come up with some kind of quick solution, but evidently that didn't happen. So they ended up being, you know, they changed planes when they got back to Chicago. They still got them there. And I guess it was about 3 hours late, which isn't outrageous, I guess, in a situation
for our domestic airlines, that's almost on time.
Yeah. And they obviously, United did give them their money back and gave them like a future credit of $300 and stuff. But, you know, if you had a meeting to get to, you missed it that day. It's just like these little problematic type things like that. It's kind of surprising they weren't able to see that before they left.
Yeah, it's too bad you can't own your own airplane and just take yourself to a meeting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
interesting idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it might happen. It's going to happen with all these drones. So maybe that'll be the solution on those little commuter flights. And then they'll either do that or United will have to put on their checklist, make sure ground crew has proper equipment for this airplane. But we will have to wait and see. So I don't know. The stories just keep on coming from United. They seem to be singled out in that regard for the last year or two. I don't know what's up with those guys. Are you seeing that pattern too, Tom, from your perspective, or is that just me?
Well, they certainly have had their PR problems in the last couple of years. But my guess is all the airlines face those kind of issues from time to time,
right.
You know, one sort or another. It's a matter of perhaps they don't leak out quite as easily as they do at United.
Yeah, they just seem to make the headlines more often. You know, whether it's you know pulling someone off an airplane or
you know, smashing a guitar.
Yeah, exactly. Just it's weird how it seems to be that they seem to come up a little bit more often than the other guys sometimes. But I don't know. I wish them the best, and hopefully they'll get it together at some point. All right. So before we wrap up today, we do have a couple other little tidbits to share. We kind of dabbled on this a little bit with this with the Uber guy who gave the speech there at MBAA. But not only was he talking about personal flying vehicles that they hope to have in effect, like flying Ubers, they are going to be at the forefront of fast food delivery. And it looks like they expect to put pizza delivery guys or Uber Eats. I mean, I guess that was the first step. You know, that seems to be taking hold pretty good. I mean, heck, my kids, they never leave the house anymore. You hear what I'm saying? And they're constantly eating out. How can that be? Well, they pull up their app and they pull up their Uber Eats and they order Jimmy John's or whatever the hell they want to eat. And I'm like, who's at the door? Like, I have my lunch. Well, you can't get up and drive down the street a half a mile and go get it yourself? What's up with that?
Well, they'll just deliver it.
Okay. So this is what's happening.
You got to turn your virtual reality glasses off to get that.
Well, good point. Yes. And those guys that deliver the Jimmy John's or whatever Uber Eats there is, they're going to start doing this with drones. And they're saying they're going to have this in place by 2021, which is, seems really aggressive. But I don't know. You think they're going to pull it off, Tom?
Well, they're talking about flying passengers via Uber Air by 2023. So flying hamburgers and pizza seems pretty realistic by 21 if 2023 for passengers is realistic. So yeah. Maybe.
If you're a betting man, what would you put those odds at?
It's going to happen.
Okay. He says yes. And you know what? I'm not going to disagree. I think it is too. I can't wait to order my first drone delivered Whopper.
I'll take a number one large fries and a Diet Coke.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And on that note, we'll go because it's time to eat. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.